All right. Last night, you're at CenturyLink. Big win for the Seahawks again. It was a defensive slog, but hey, they kind of needed that with the way Russ was playing. What else is there to say right now about what this team has been able to do over the last number of weeks?
I think it's really important the way they won last night. And not that you ever want to have your quarterback play a game like Russell did or have an offense that, look, Pete Carroll was more than content to sit there and nurse a one-score lead. He's a lot more comfortable than most coaches are in those sort of games. And I think that he feel that, hey, we're comfortable with this. We're comfortable with it being one score going down the stretch, and we think we'll make more plays down the stretch of a close game. But here's why it's important is that if you're going to be a team that makes a postseason run or succeeds in the postseason, not just this season but going forward, you have to have a variety of ways to win. You have to be capable. Your team has to be capable of winning when your best players don't have their best games, or your quarterback has a bad game, or your offense, for whatever reason, has a bad matchup. And I'll compare this back to the Sunday night game against between the Rams and the Bears. The Rams are clearly a better team than Seattle. And over a 16-game schedule, I think if you played this season over and over again, the Rams would consistently be 2 to 3 games better over a regular season. That doesn't always mean that a team is geared for postseason success. And the example that I would point to is Peyton Manning in his Colts tenure. The Colts were one of the most successful regular season teams in the league in that time. In fact, would have been neck and neck. You could argue to your blue in the face about whether it was the Colts or the Patriots that were a better regular season team during that span. And they won a Super Bowl, and I don't want to take that away from him, but he also had a number of a pretty jarring one-and-out postseason appearances. And my belief is that the reason that happened was because if Peyton didn't play well or their offense didn't excel, they didn't have other paths to win. And I think that to be a balanced team, you do have to have that ability, the ability to win a game in a different style. And Seattle showed last night that their quarterback, Russell Wilson's their most important player, and he had his lowest passing total of his career, and they still won against a respectable opponent, and that's significant.
Danny, in terms of, you know, looking at it from a positive point of view, of course, the defense stepping up and winning it the other way, but is this something to worry about with the Kansas City Chiefs just around the corner in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly don't want to see, you start to look at it, their offense looked like it had turned a corner, and then you turn in a performance like that, and you start to wonder, like, okay, what happens when they face a good defense? And that's what happened when they faced a good defense last night, and it wasn't pretty. Yeah, you do worry about that. And you do wonder, okay, is this team consistent enough? Is that they're going to face tougher teams than Minnesota, that game against Kansas City you mentioned, and then they're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs. So all of those different things, it was not a performance that made you feel great about every aspect of their team. But I think the biggest worry, at least for me, for this team going down the stretch was, is that defense any good? Is that a below average defense? Because the previous 3 to 4 games, they certainly looked like a below average defense at times, and certainly in yardage totals. And they looked like a good defense last night.
So the Bobby Wagner block, illegal or not illegal? What where did you stand on it?
It's illegal. He put his hands on the back of two of his teammates and jumped across the line of scrimmage. And the way that rule, and the rule, the verbiage has been rewritten, there's no mention of using it to gain a height advantage or anything like that. You can't put your hands on teammates or opponents as you jump through a gap. And he did. It should have been a penalty, and it wasn't. I think the thing to me that is, well, the first thing is I actually find it hilarious that opponents tend to get it in the shorts when it's Monday night officiating decisions in Seattle.
Yeah.
There was the Golden Tate catch. We all remember that.
Of course.
The one-hander or interception that was ruled a touchdown back in 2012. There was K.J. Wright. He batted a ball out of the end zone after Cam Chancellor had forced a fumble. That was 2015. That should have been a penalty, and it wasn't. And now there's this. So, yeah, sometimes you mess with the boy, you get the horns at CenturyLink on Monday night. The second thing is, I think it's interesting that as a football viewing audience, we become so fixated on the officiating of an increasingly complicated rule book to the point we're now employing ex-officials, not us, but TV networks are employing ex-officials to sit there and parse the nuances of those sort of things. When look, man, mistakes happen in officiating. It's going to continue to happen. And the fact that people now are getting, they're scrutinizing the game for those officiating mistakes is strange to me.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Danny O'Neill of ESPN 710 Seattle. And Danny, speaking of Bobby Wagner, we saw that play, and whether it was illegal or legal, you know, we'll leave that to the side because it is what it is now. But the last 2 weeks, he's played amazing football on the defensive side of the ball. He doesn't have the gaudy stats of somebody like Aaron Donald, so he maybe doesn't get that respect. Do you think he's underrated across the NFL for that reason?
Yes, I do, because we basically measure defensive player of the year based on sacks, largely. That's usually the primary criteria. And every once in a while, a safety will jump up there, usually in a year when he's had a ton of touchdowns, Polamalu or Ed Reed. But yeah, that balloting, because it's hard to take, and sometimes people don't take tackles at face value. Bobby Wagner's a great defensive player. And he and Luke Kuechly were seen as 1A and 1B, came to middle linebackers over the past few years, and I think Bobby's the best. I think he's the best linebacker in this league, and he has shown that. He is the in some ways, kind of the last, he and KJ, he's the last man standing from the Super Bowl defense, one of the best defenses in NFL history, and he's going to kind of become the guy who sets the tone, and he's having a great all-around season. You think about what the game a week ago, it's tough for a linebacker to have a game than to have a sack, force a fumble that he returned 11 yards, then pick off a pass that he ran back 98 yards for a touchdown. Oh, and by the way, also get 12 tackles. He is the only Seahawk in this tenure, in this era, and under Pete Carroll, to get an MVP vote. Tony Dungy voted for him for MVP in 2014, and that was the year actually Bobby missed a couple games. And then he came back, and his return coincided with Seattle's six-game winning streak to close out the season, finish atop the conference again, and get home field advantage throughout the playoffs as they marched their way to a second Super Bowl.
Danny, what, like, if you were to rank it on a scale, 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest, what's the threat level of the Seahawks heading into the playoffs this year?
6. I mean, honestly, like, I think it's hard for me to look at that team and think that they've got the defensive wherewithal to win multiple games. I think they can win a game on the road, especially if they play Dallas. I think they're more than capable of beating Dallas in Dallas. Can they win back-to-back games and get to the NFC Championship game? I think that's going to be asking an awful lot of this team. I think they're missing some pieces. I think that they need either Doug Baldwin to get back really healthy and effective and back to being how he was last season, or they need and they need a pass rusher. I think you have to have another guy that forces opponents to react, and they've been able to get some of that pass rush. The rookie Jacob Martin, who's out of Temple, he's been really effective, but I don't think they have that pass rush that can really set it off. And then you need to find some sort of playmaker in that secondary, a guy who can not just play, because Shaquille Griffin and Trey Flowers are solid corners, but they need to have guys that can take the ball away. And we haven't seen that yet from them, getting that sort of shutdown. We're going to play with a swagger, and we're going to take opposing offenses and knock them off balance. Last night was a start. That's a pretty good passing offense from Minnesota, and Seattle played really, really well. But for them, I just don't think that they have the horsepower that you're going to need to make an extended playoff run.
Danny, we appreciate the time as always. Go find yourself a pretzel this afternoon.
I will, and hopefully Rondeep will be able to find some religion or something and realize the versatility of the pretzel.
All right. I'll give it a try. Maybe for you, Danny.
We all have our learning moments. Thanks for this, Danny.
Take care, guys. Sportsnet 650.